You know what's interesting is that you put together a plan. For example, this bulletin. Sarah put this together at the start of the week. And believe it or not, right after the prayer, after the today's message, was going to be a baptism. And Stan and Carolyn came over on Thursday, started to fill it up so we could get it ready. And I get this call from Cheryl. And Cheryl says to me, "Where are you?" Well, at the time I was helping a person, and I said, "Well, I'm not too far away." And she says, "Can you get over to the church? We have water problems." Now, I've heard this before. And I wasn't sure if I really wanted to go through this again. But anyway, I come over and I'm looking for them, and there's water behind the baptistry. But then we went down, there's water trickling down from upstairs down there. You know, some denominations do sprinkling. We could have done that Thursday. Because we had the water sprinkling down. We could have done that. We could have been Methodist. But being true brethren, we wanted to try to make sure that we had a baptistry. And First Christian Church just down the road here was very kind when we asked them, "Can you take us on Sunday?" Well, they have another church in the afternoon. They have a Burmese church. And they said, "Well, you'll have to be later on. So tonight at 5 o'clock, we will be at the First Christian Church. And we'd love to have as many of you there as possible, because this is a great moment in the lives of Laura and Caitlin. And we're just so happy to have them wanting to become members of Lincolnshire and being baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you can, that would be great for tonight. So actually, when I was working on this sermon, I was going to have it so that we're talking about baptism and communion. Well, we have communion. It's Worldwide Sunday of Communion. But we'll also have a baptism tonight anyway, so it's still appropriate. So you know, this is a very, very special day in the life of individuals who are here, Laura and Caitlin, but also for the members of our church. It's so wonderful when we have people who want to become members for our Lord Jesus Christ. And we celebrate Worldwide Communion this morning, and we celebrate this evening baptism. These are the most important sacraments of our Christian faith, baptism and communion. These were two practices that were so central to the early church. And the church was so devoted to these two practices that they called them sacraments. Well, what in the world is a sacrament? Well, I'm going to tell you. The idea of a sacrament is that you take something ordinary, but God uses it as a vehicle for something extraordinary. For example, let's look at baptism. Now, baptism just uses ordinary water. You could have it in a pond, you could have it in a swimming pool, you could have it in a river, you could have it back here in the baptistry. You could have it in many different ways. Something, though, takes place which is sacred when you have people who are baptized. In communion at the Lord's table, we have bread. And in fact, today you're going to see that we have a lot of different types of bread, breads from around the world. And then we have cups of juice. Both of them are ordinary, but they also symbolize something which is very sacred to us. Something ordinary becomes a window that you can look through to see something extraordinary that God is doing. These sacraments point us toward God. and hold us there long enough to feel the presence of God. At the heart of these two ordinances is a story that God is writing in the world, and most importantly, writing on our hearts. You know, God is at work in the world to reconcile all things to himself. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether it be things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross."
So God is doing a work of reconciliation, isn't he? And why is this necessary? Well, we know as Christians that sin has destroyed this story, that there is a gap that now stands between God and us, and that the story of the gospel is God of the universe is acting on our behalf of the world to close the gap, to forgive sin, and three, to reconcile the universe to himself. Sometimes we have a hard time grasping the reality of that work, and we're hard-pressed sometimes to understand the depth of forgiveness that God offers. Now, Jesus wanted his followers to be very clear on this, so he gave the early church two practices to bring clarity. And these are like two gifts given to us that we get to open and enjoy and share this gift from God. Each gift represents a unique purpose. They work in concert with one another. One proclaims that Jesus died for me, and the other that Jesus lives within me. Isn't that beautiful? Have you ever thought of that before in those words? That one, baptism, proclaims that Jesus died for me, but the other, the sacrament, claims that Jesus lives within me. They are both acts of association and of allegiance. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, meaning communion, were not always and ever in Jesus' day ever considered to be a casual religious observation. In fact, long ago, people who were baptized and received communion as a public act did so knowing that there was a strong possibility of long-term consequences. The very act of participating in either one brought on a stigma in the first centuries of the church. And we see this in the book of Acts, where the followers of Jesus were often expelled from the synagogue, and sometimes even chased out of town. Sometime later in the first century, people would even lose their jobs, and sometimes even, as you know, lose their lives. There are hints of this type of pressure seen not only in Acts, but also in 1 Peter, as well as the book of Hebrews.
For the next several minutes, we want to clarify the meaning of these two ordinances. Baptism is a one-time event of repentance and association with Christ. Baptism is Christianity's initiation rite, if you want to call it that, but it's more than that, as we'll see. But it includes with it the idea that once a person admits his sin and turns to Christ for salvation, some public step needs to be taken to show the world that this man or woman, boy or girl, is now a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was growing up, the practice of baptism had been around for a while. Although the term baptism is not used to describe the Jewish rites, such as the purification rites known as mikvah, which is the ritual of immersion. However, in Jewish laws and traditions, they have some similarity to baptism. In Jesus' day, if a Gentile decided to become a part of the Jewish community, that conversion of faith could be expressed through the act of baptism. It was a way of saying, this person who has been an outsider is now a part of our family. This idea that was practiced by the Jewish faith spread. And in Jesus' day, we see it practiced in the life of John the Baptist. Now, the reason he was called John the Baptist was that he would take people who confessed their sins down to the Jordan River, and they would be baptized. And they would then become the kingdom of God. There was this solidarity expressed in the waters of baptism. It didn't mean that John was a Baptist, nor did it mean that Jesus had other cousins, for example, Brad the Brethren, or Elias the Episcopalian. It was a way for the Israelites to say, I want to repent. I want to be known as one who loves God. I know I need cleansing, and I know that God can provide it. Water on an ordinary level washes us clean and makes us feel fresh and new again. Baptism takes and adds the symbolism of cleansing and newness, spiritual. That is part of the imagery of water.
Now, there is another part of the imagery of baptism that is very, very important to keep in mind, and that, of course, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We are, after all, born of the waters of the womb. Have you ever really thought about that? We are born of the waters of the womb. And just think about water in general. I mean, when you see a pool, when you see these beautiful fountains, don't you just want to jump in? There's just something appealing about water that says, just invite you to jump in and just plunge yourself and cover yourself with the water. Now, the thing is, though, however, if we stay in that water too long, then it also can mean death. So coming up to the surface and breathing again is like being reborn. The word baptism in itself suggests the going down into, the dipping under the water. And in the New Testament, the clear implication is that people were completely immersed. And it reminds people of being thoroughly washed and cleansed, of coming out dripping from head to toe as a new person. The word baptize, the verb, comes from a Greek word, baptizo, which means to dip, to plunge under, to submerge. Now, water baptism by immersion serves as a public pantomime of an inward reality. Paul says this in Romans 6:4. He states, we were buried with Christ by baptism into death in order that we might rise to walk in the newness of life. And Paul also speaks here of the Spirit's baptism at the moment of salvation. Water baptism tells of a spiritual change. It says, I am making a spiritual change in my life. The spiritual change is twofold. One, death to an old life in Adam, as illustrated in the burial of the water, and two, the resurrection of the new life in Christ, as illustrated by rising out of the water. And as you know, I know the United Brethren, they go backwards and they come forward as in burial, and we go forward three times. Same thing, baptism by immersion pictures the spiritual death, burial, and resurrection with Jesus Christ of those who have trusted him as their personal savior. And if you don't mind, I'm going to insert just a small clip. When I was first baptized, I was about Katie's age. Yeah, I was. And it was very sincere. I had a very sincere heart, just like Caitlin being baptized today. We were talking with Laura, and it was Caitlin who came up alongside Laura and said, I want to be baptized too. And she was so sincere, and she is so sincere. She has a love for the Lord. So I went about this very sincere. But at the age of 15 at Wicco High School, there came an evangelistic singing group that was able and allowed to come into the school. And I had a spiritual experience there that changed me forever. And I asked the church if I could be rebaptized. I don't know if I've shared this with you or not. And the church said, no, we already baptized you. We thought it was good the first time. And they weren't being mean. It was just their statement of, you've already been baptized. And I felt like a new person. I felt like I knew and understood this in a deeper way. But I let it go, and I thought, okay, I've already been baptized. I know I've already been baptized by the Holy Spirit. This is all cool and good. Now, remember how we talked about how God answers prayers, but sometimes not in a way we expect, and sometimes not in our time frame? So at that time, God said no. But wouldn't you know, unexpectedly, when Paul and I were entering the TRIM program, the first thing they said as we were signing up is, oh, you get to go to Israel. And we said, okay, cool. How cool is that? So we went to Israel, and as we were there, they were saying, now, you all have an opportunity to be baptized in the Jordan River. At first, I thought, isn't that a little hokey? You know, like cattle lined up, being dipped in the water. I just wasn't sure if it was sincere, because baptism to me is so private. It's such a one-on-one with God. But something compelled me to do it. And as I was being immersed, I felt the Holy Spirit rack through my body once again, and I knew God was answering my prayer, and he was saying, I'm dipping you in the same river as my son. How special is this? So God does answer our prayers, and he will touch your lives. It's just sometimes a matter of time. But how special was that?
And part of what is so remarkable is that Jesus himself was baptized as an expression of solidarity with the human race. We all say that he was sinless. He didn't have to go in to be baptized because of sins, but he wanted to show how he was in sync with humanity. He commanded his followers to do the same. His final command in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, is, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes people ask, well, how much water does it really take to be baptized? Well, we were wondering that Thursday. How much water does it take? As we're trying to think of options, when Casey called and said, no, I don't think that's going to work. The baptistry is, it's down. So we're thinking, well, you know, we had that water trickling down from upstairs. We could just have them go underneath there, and they could be trickled on. Or we could get a basin and just dump it on them. Or we could go to Camp Mack or Lake Gage. And then we thought, oh, there's First Christian Church. Yeah, maybe sounds like a better idea, because the water outside is kind of cold right now. But you know, there are so many different traditions. We do have the sprinkling for some denominations. We have the pouring for others. We have the differences where it's immersed backwards, or we have in our tradition where they're immersed forward. Any way you go, it's important that we know that they're all acts of association and repentance with our Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes people will ask, well, is baptism a guarantee of getting into heaven? Is it my get out of hell free card? Well, the answer is simple. No. You got to do more than just baptism. You can be baptized to show that you are a part of the faith. But as Paul said, you have to have ways to show your faith. Now, James was a bit more blunt on it. But Paul also said, if you don't have things that you show with your faith is dead. The offer and forgiveness in new life in this world and forever is given by the grace of God, though. It's given on our basis of faith. We find in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. We receive heaven by trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have to respond by faith, not only by baptism. Hopefully, baptism is a physical act which shows our inward faith, if we are true to our faith in Christ Jesus. Baptism is critically important because it publicizes your faith. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ and have never been baptized, it is a great moment in your spiritual journey. It is a moment of true celebration. It celebrates in front of other brothers and sisters, boys and girls, the fact that you now belong to the family of God.
The other ordinance, of course, is the Lord's Supper, also considered communion, as you will partake today. This sacrament is observed as the central act of remembering the Lord's love, God's love, Jesus' love for us as displayed on the cross. When Jesus gathered his disciples in the upper room, he celebrated the Passover with them, which, as you know, is a meal that has its roots in the great deliverance of God that delivered the Israelites from Egypt. In the course of the meal, Jesus took a piece of bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body broken for you." Then he took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which has been poured out for you," as we find in Luke 22. Now, the early church took this as an opportunity to celebrate the new Passover God was providing through his Son. Communion celebrates what God is doing through Christ. And don't you love that? Every time you take communion, you get to celebrate what God is doing through Christ in your life, in the lives of those around you. But it is also an act of remembering, and there's much of this done in the Bible. In the Old Testament, for example, God would call on his people to build altars, and one of the purposes of the altar was so that they would remember, so they would not forget that spot and time. We also know that the Jews are very good about tying the law on a string and binding it to their fingers so they don't forget, on their doorposts, on their foreheads, so that they never forget the importance of the Torah, God's word, God's law. And God gives us this act of remembrance so we will never forget the one who fulfilled the demands of the law and became the perfect final sacrifice for sin.
Communion becomes a communal act of remembrance and renewal. It is done on a regular basis. We do it every other month, and then we have the full love feast right before Easter. It only has real significance for those who have become a follower of Christ. Otherwise, it would be an act of remembering something that has yet to be experienced. In conclusion, Baptism is a one-time act that shows the world that you are repenting and that you want to follow Christ. Communion is an ongoing ordinance. Remember the grace of God given through Christ. These two ordinances form a very special opportunity for anyone who wants to follow Christ. Remember his grace and make it known to a watching world. And with this, we close and say, Amen.